Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. This is episode number 85.
Already?
Already. Jeez. I know. Already. We've got a wonderful evening of festivities here this evening. But before I get into everything and introducing everybody, I want to say thank you to all the folks that came out to our fifth anniversary party.
Yes.
Last night at Meltdown. It was epic.
That was fantastic.
There was fire. There was an Xbox given away. There was lots of friends and new acquaintances. And it was so much fun.
And the drinks were delicious and strong.
Yeah, she can attest.
Kat got a little drunk.
I mean, it's from the F word a lot.
It was hilarious.
Oh my God, you were swearing so much. I'm like, my God, she's drunk. She's swearing so much.
So yeah, before we get into me introducing to for everybody here on the show, just want to let you know that we're running a giveaway today. We're going to be giving away an arcade block through the podcast today. You can enter to win that bad boy by typing in I can't even talk. Why are we doing a podcast?
It's not a podcast unless Leah stumbles on her words.
I know. So. Exclamation mark arcade in all capital letters. Do that.
It's in the title. So.
Yeah, sorry for those folks that are listening afterwards. We're doing this specifically on Twitch. So this is the reason why you need to come watch us on Monday nights. See?
Sorry.
We get away from shit. So yeah, wonderful arcade block. It's the October one. So yeah, give that away tonight. And I imagine it would get shipped out pretty soon. That's pretty dope. But yeah, you probably want to know who all these party faces are on the podcast here today. We've got Miss Catherine. Hey, Kat.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
I'm good. I wasn't, by the way, for the record, I was not hungover the next day. I'm pretty sure that 2 a.m. Mickey D helped.
Yeah, there you go.
Always.
We've also got Simo on the cast.
Hello!
Simo, really nice thank you to us during the...
Well worth it.
Thank you very much for doing that.
Of course.
And the other folks we have on the cast are from Montreal Pokemon League, Kelly, Ann, and Miles. Thank you for coming.
Hi, thanks for having us.
No problem. So before we get into like the juicy details of all the fun craziness that happened last week, because there was a lot.
So much.
I know. I want to learn more about Montreal Pokemon League. So Miles, take it away. Give me the spiel. Let all the good people know what you guys are about.
Okay, where to start? Probably
the beginning.
The beginning. Okay, so we kind of started as an idea back in 2014, and just a couple of friends at work. It was like Tim and Sean.
Yeah.
And being like, hey, it would be cool to have like an actual, you know, Pokemon League with people as gym leaders and stuff, and just battle on the video game. And then, you know, those friends told a couple other friends, they're like, we want in on this idea, and then it actually kind of came to fruition, and we got through connections, we got invited to the Otakuthon in 2014 at the anime convention, and we set up with a bunch of custom drawn badges that I think you even drew some of them, right?
Yeah.
Or all of them?
Yeah, I did. I did art for the first set.
Cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we got a pin press, we made a bunch of badges, sat down with a gym leader of each type doing like rotation shifts, and
really?
Was really overwhelmed with how many like few hundred people came to challenge us all weekend when we were just like just became a thing at the convention. Like that's how we started.
That's dope.
And
so what game is it that you play
right now? We Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire mostly, but we do still play X and Y for people doing the Victor Road challenge.
Cool
Which is the pretty much main point of the league. For the convention and what we do now every year at Otakuthon and at Comic-Con is we'll sit down with another exclusive badge set just for the convention. So like Otakuthon will have Pokemon cosplaying as anime characters, and at Comic-Con will have them cosplaying as superheroes and supervillains, and people can come and they only have that weekend to win them. But the Victory Road Challenge, just like in the video game, just like in the TV show, is all throughout the year. And people can follow us on our Facebook GymNav page, on our Twitter. And we pretty much do, each gym leader does a what we call GymNav once a month.
Mm-hmm.
We have technically, if you have enough free time, you can win all of them in a month. But it's pretty tough. But yeah, they pretty much each gym leader every month has at least one gym nav, and it's somewhere in Montreal, usually near a metro, so it's easily accessible by public transit. Pretty much random places all around the city of Montreal, whether it's a coffee shop, the Bonaventure, like skating rink near Bonaventure, or a card store, and then they'll be there for like 3-4 hours just taking challenges. And we have the Victory Road badge set that we use throughout the year. And of course, like in the game, most importantly, there is an Elite Four and champion. Because there's always got to be an end game, like a final boss.
Right? Are you the champion? Yeah. Is it you?
I'm actually not the champion. Our champion, Caroline, was actually supposed to be on stream, but she's out of town this week.
Oh.
That's too bad.
But I am the Fairy Type Elite Four.
Oh.
Cool.
Nice, yeah. Sylveon. Yes.
we're actually currently in our second season of Victory Road, called the Balance Season. With Sean, I think the coin of phrase.
Yeah,
we're trying to sort of like work out the kinks and balance everything out. And we actually introduced a TCG Victory Road.
Really?
Card game side of it.
Yeah. So basically, the TCG is pretty much what the VGC deal is, where we all the gym leaders we have one for each type of TCG cards: fighting, psychic, anything that has a symbol on an energy card. We have it.
Normal too.
And including normal, yes.
I don't TCG.
and then we'll show up. We'll announce that we'll be at a card shop or wherever for a few hours, and people can come in and try to earn our badges with using their standard decks.
That's cool.
Yeah, and we have not run an Elite Four Expo yet, because yes, that's what we usually do for VGC. We'll set up an event where you can challenge the Elite Four, rather than have them be available every month. And we haven't done that for TCG yet, but there are plans to at some point once more people earn the badges.
That's cool.
That is honestly the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that so is you so have cool. Anybody who wants to join, who's interested in playing Pokemon competitively against other folks in the city, essentially they just follow the Facebook page, and then when a gym leader decides where they're going to be for a certain amount of time, they post it on Facebook?
Yeah, yes. They post it on Twitter. It automatically reposts to our secondary Facebook page.
Yep.
Our main Facebook page, the PKM League MTL, that one is for, we all announce all of our big events and big announcements. And then we have a Montreal Poke Gym Nav Facebook page.
Yeah.
And just where all the Twitter feed just floods there, so people can follow that one.
Okay. And
it's about 2 to 4 gym leaders at a time will get together and do it. That way that one or two people don't get way overwhelmed.
I can see that.
It's happened that like sometimes like a couple people will show up to a gym nav, and then one day 25 people will show up to a gym nav, and our gym leader will be like, I don't have enough hands.
So
take all these challengers.
Are your gym leaders all specific based? Like, do you have like a water based Pokemon gym leader that might be like decide to go down in the old port?
I don't know if we've ever done sort of thematic locations. That would be a good idea. We could totally do that. We should have like the ghost and dark leaders go like take challenges at Onoir or something.
Yeah, well, this weekend you should have whoever has poison or ghost Pokemon working this weekend.
Yeah.
Speaking of this weekend, we actually do have a big event. I'll get to that in a
second. Oh, there you go.
getting ahead of you. Because I have a horrible short-term memory, so if we tangent too far, I forget where my train of thought was going. But anyway, like I was saying, the Victory Road Elite Four and Champion will have what we call the Elite Four Expo, and we'll get all the Elite Four and the Champion together. And unlike in the video game where you have to sort of one-shot get through all of them, or you have to restart from the beginning, because things are a little bit different in the game, where it's like you don't have the level advantage. When you player to player, you're both level 50, so you're on game.
Right, right.
So you can't sort of like overpower like us by levels.
Yeah.
So what we do is get as many retries as you want in the day, but you have to beat us, all four of us, in that day. And then, as we had it from last season, if you beat the Elite Four, then once you have the Elite Four, we actually have Elite Four badges, so you get those ones.
Cool.
And then you have the right, even if you don't be the champion that day, to fight the champion, whether that day or on another day. So at least if you clear the Elite Four, then you have champion for next time. You don't have to battle all four of us all over again. And I don't know if you guys can see if the
web
can pick this up, but this is the Montreal badge.
Nice.
That's a nice badge.
The metal lapel pin. All the other like gym leader and elite four pins are like button pins.
Yeah, they're punch. They're punch pins. Like, how'd you find a con? Super simple. It's easier for us to keep changing the design every season.
Yeah,
for sure.
Mass produce and print out more, but these ones here, the Montreal badge, is what you win if you beat our champion.
Wow. Does it cost anything for anybody to be part of this?
It's a big no. It is
completely
free.
Wow.
Anyone who's got a Pokemon XY, Omega Ruby, or Alpha Sapphire, or a card or a deck can fight our gym leaders all throughout the year. There's no charge, no sign up fee. The only thing that does cost that of stuff we do are our tournaments. And usually any of the money that we get from our tournaments will go back into the prizes that we bought for the tournaments, mm-hmm. or to help supply us throughout the year with like our batch supplies and stuff like that.
Oh, that's great.
We're pretty much just like self-funding by like just running our events to fund more events and then more events.
That's perfect though, because it's like it's in it for the fun, right?
Yeah. So I guess since it's the cats out of the bag, maybe talk about this weekend.
Yeah.
You're the one who planned it.
So aside from being one of the elite four, I'm also our event coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
The one running back and forth, trying to deal with venues and planning prizes, and we have other like admin members that like work stuff out with.
Mm-hmm.
So for the event for this weekend, we have over at Concordia University in the Henry Hall Building, 7th floor, Sunday from 10:30 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We will be there having our third annual Halloween Pokemon party.
Nice.
Very cool.
In fact, 2 years ago was actually, I think, the very first Pokemon tournament we ever did.
Okay.
And pretty much this weekend, similar to how we did last year, we're going to have tournaments this year. And we do actually do officially sanctioned tournaments throughout the year, like with VGC rules.
Okay.
Official rules. Although we like to throw in fun tournaments every now and then because not everyone's into like the
hardcore IV training and stuff.
Yeah.
Most people that come to the tournaments do have like IV bread and EV training stuff. But I mean like the VGC format stays the same throughout the year. So most people like a little bit of variety.
Mm.
So we'll do stuff like, I don't know if you know about the Smogon tiers, but it's sort of like a unofficial, like official, I guess, like internet tier system.
Okay.
And there's different tiers. It's like tier one is OU, which is overused and whatnot. And so there's a bunch of tiers, and it's pretty much the non-official competitive, like all like competitive scene. And it's got a bunch of different tiers and formats. So this weekend we decided to do Smogon UU, which is essentially underused. It's like tier two.
Okay.
It's like it's fun. It's actually one of my favorite formats because all the stuff in tier one is banned. So all the stuff that people are always using, like you won't see Conflame, you won't see Mega Charizard, you won't see all the like the overpowered stuff, so that you don't have to be like, oh, well, I'm playing the same boring stuff over and over again. So it gives people a chance to bring out stuff that you wouldn't normally get to play with.
Yeah, bring different strategies and stuff and combinations and all that kind of cool things. So yeah, that's actually pretty cool.
You expect different things.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because if you're having like a VGC tournament or like a tier one tournament, you're not going to be able to bring like Weezing or something because it's early. Weezing is pretty bulky, but there's a bunch of Pokemon they just like, I want to use it and it's good. It's just nowhere near the level of like some of these other guys that use it.
Yeah.
But aside from that, also I'd say equally importantly, because what Halloween event would be complete without one is a costume contest.
Nice.
Obviously Pokemon themed.
Nice.
And we'll have we're gonna have a bunch of cosplay judges, some league members, some guests, and prizes for at least the top three, a few raffle prizes to give away, both the costume contest and the tournament. And I think we actually have one of the costume contest prizes here with us.
Oh my god! Are you kidding me?
All dressed up.
What's that costume, though? What's the costume?
It's a Team Flare grunt. It's like
yes, Team Flare. That's what it is. Yeah, that's an X and Y, right?
Yeah, that's an X and Y.
Nice. Oh, so, my God.
This weekend is, like, our part one of two, like, farewell to Gen 6. We're having one other smaller tournament next month on the 12th at Three Kings Loot, where we do a lot of our regular tournaments. Mm. A game store near Peel Metro. They've been awesome to us, and they just let us throw tournaments there mostly whenever we want. And we do our weekly TCG Tuesdays there, which I'll
yeah, we do TCG Tuesdays this week. This weekend the new set dropped, or at least the pre-release tournaments for the I think it's Evolutions is the new pack.
Yeah, XY Evolutions.
And this one's
XY Evolutions.
XY Evolutions. It's pretty special because all the card prints are literally the art they had for the original cards.
Like the Gen 1, like...
Oh, yeah.
These cards.
So if you read, like, the old Charmander, the old Mewtwo promo, the old Shiny Charizard that everyone wanted, they're
I still have that.
It's super...
That's cool.
There were two pre-release events where you come in and you get given a little pack with a set of boosters in it and a set of cards, and then you build a deck of 40 cards, and then it's a small tournament. And it's sort of an introduction before they release the full set to this new set, and it's a fun way for players to get together and play, and if you win, you get more boosters. Basically, top three places get more boosters. Usually, everyone walks away with at least one booster.
And we have one tomorrow night?
Yeah, there's one tomorrow night and one
Saturday. Yeah, the day before. Okay.
At Three Kings Loot downtown.
That's why Tony wouldn't let me do the Halloween event on Saturday. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm doing a pre-release.
So, I guess then this is your last two events prior to Sun and Moon coming out, and that's why then you go on to Gen 7?
Yeah, next month we're going to have our last Premier Challenge on Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, which is, Premier Challenges are like the sanctioned tournaments that are like we officially sanctioned through the Pokemon Company's website.
Mm-hmm.
And like you go to where the tournaments and you like the top placing players get championship points. So you win enough of those, you go to enough like bigger tournaments as well, and you can win yourself like a world championships invite. And like over at the world, even stuff like regionals, there's crazy amount of prizes. Like especially at worlds, is like thousands of dollars in like cash and scholarships.
Wow.
But the thing is with the championship tournament stuff, the career challenges, so far we've started running them as of this past February.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just like with the season, unfortunately not a lot of people were a big fan of like the legendaries, because this format everyone's allowed to choose all legendaries like Primal Kyogre and stuff, and it's really kind of an overpowered format. But I'm excited to start in December with Sun and Moon, because like it's gonna be like a complete reset, like no cover legendaries anyway, so none of the OP stuff. And it's gonna be Alola Dex exclusive. It's gonna be like it's gonna be reinventing the entire metagame. For a few months it's gonna be like expert players are going to be running around like headless chickens on equal footing with everyone else, at least for a little
That's
bit.
That's exciting though.
You need to do that.
At least to have fun.
Yeah.
It's like
the seasons in Diablo in a sense. Do you know what I mean? It's a chance to like revive and restart again. We actually got a question from Kappa Wappa. He wants to know, who's the strongest gym leader so I could face him or her?
How do I answer that without hurting someone's feelings?
How many, so if you guys are here in Montreal, I assuming then for people in Montreal, that's how they can become part of Montreal Pokemon League, is check out Facebook and Twitter. But then how about if they're in other cities? Is there counterparts to you guys in other places?
I'm not exactly sure. I know there are other leagues. I believe it's one in, I think it's Calgary, that does the OdaFest Pokemon League, but I think that's once a year only at their big anime convention.
Okay.
And I know that there's a league in, in Ottawa.
I think there's one in Ottawa, but I don't think we've had a lot of contact with other leagues.
I'm not sure if they're like a once a year at a convention thing, or if they do an all year round thing. Yeah.
So it's kind of unique that you guys do this year round.
As far as I know, we're unique in the sense that we do it all year round.
Yeah. So did Pokemon Go like change you guys for a little while? Did you like all jump on Pokemon Go for a while and kind of didn't, you know, do the traditional video game 3DS game for a bit?
Well, I know a lot of us, as soon as it came out, just like all they were doing with their phones as they were walking, like, walking
yeah.
anywhere. That was me, walking into walls.
That's all of us. All of us.
Yeah.
I'm sad to say I stopped playing.
I kind of did too. Yeah.
I lost my Pokemon Go Plus last night, so I guess I'm not playing anymore.
You had one and lost it? That's sad.
I know. It was so convenient.
How was the Plus? I always wondered if it was really that much better with the Plus.
It was. It really was. Because it enabled you to play with your screen off. Right, and it would track your steps, so you didn't have to have your phone out heating up and wasting battery.
And
just be pressing the button to catch all your Rattatas and Pidgeys that you didn't care about, and just rack up XP that way. So it's a lazy man's Pokemon Go.
Well, speaking of lazy man's Pokemon Go, I guess like the thing is they haven't done anything until now. I saw an announcement, and I guess kind of getting into news, that they're having their first event this weekend. Well, kind of 26th into the 31st, because Halloween. Yeah, easier to get ghost type drowsies. Not that I need any more drowsies. They're everywhere where I live. Like, seriously, you want a drowsy? You come to Montreal? Like, seriously. And easier to get candy too. So it's kind of too bad they didn't start that earlier, and that they didn't have the Plus out earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we would have kept up with it more. But I mean, they do something crazy, and like, I still have it on my phone. Like, I haven't turned it off. Yeah. When I was in Vegas, I turned it back on to see what I could catch. I did get some new Pokemon, so I was like, all right, 10 minutes well spent, and $100 in data. All right.
Oh, man.
Not really. Really, I'm joking.
Okay.
And we've actually had the question posed a lot to us, more so when the game was coming out or being announced, of like, what are we going to do to incorporate Pokemon Go? But as of yet, there hasn't
nothing.
Really been can use.
Yeah.
There's no
PvP, there's no trading. I remember when they were talking about it first, I think it was at E3 or maybe before or after that, in some interview with the creators, they were talking about how they wanted some sort of compatibility or connection with Sun and Moon. And so maybe we'll find out something about that next year. I have no idea how they'll incorporate it, but
let's
see where it goes.
Let's jump into the news, because I actually have a news story about that. So that's a great segue. So yeah, we're going to start talking about the news and what's going on in the world of video games, because last week was kind of wild. Wow. That Thursday was wild. But yeah, let's start it off with Pokemon Go. So there's a GameSpot article about a connection of Pokemon Go with Sun and Moon. It's still in the works. So that's kind of cool. So the demo for Pokemon Sun and Moon is currently available. We're going to talk about that in a bit. On the Nintendo 3DS eShop. But with the launch of the full game so close, a constant question from fans have obviously been about, you know, is Pokemon Go going to have some sort of thing in between each other? In a recent interview at Nintendo's San Francisco office, the GameSpot folks spoke to Junichi, if I'm saying that right, Masuda. I mean, yeah, exactly. A longtime developer and composer for the Pokemon franchise, who's currently working as a producer for Sun and Moon. My dog is running across the screen. Oh my god, he's excited. He has a sock. So when they asked about the connection between the two, it said it's definitely not off the table. Was still thinking about the best way to establish this kind of connectivity and what the best timing would be. Obviously, you know, they probably want people to enjoy them separately. Well, we've already had Go, and then make some kind of DLC or something where the two come together. But with that being said, you need some kind of way to have your Nintendo Pokemon account on your 3DS communicate with the Google account that you use for Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Universal Nintendo login?
Maybe you could use your Nintendo ID with Pokemon Go.
But like, you can connect your Pokemon Go account to your your Pokemon Go account to your Pokemon.com account, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And you can connect register your game cartridge on the Pokemon.com's on their global
website.
On the Global Link website. So maybe somewhere in between we'll be able to connect it that way.
Yeah, they've got to figure that out though.
If it's anything like Nintendo, it's going to be convoluted and complicated as fuck to make it work.
Truth.
Have you ever tried to transfer purchases from one DS to the other? Holy crap.
Oh, God.
They actually made it easier.
They made it easier.
Oh yeah, Jesus.
You still have to call, but they've actually made it easier. When I got my new 3DS and my old 3DS got stolen, it was like before they were like, we're gonna send you an email, you're gonna download something and blah blah blah. Now it's just like, we confirm your identity. You've given me the new serial number, and they're like, by tomorrow everything's gonna be switched.
Cool.
Or he said an hour, and yeah, now you don't have to download the SDK or anything. It's just like, okay, it's done, it's transferred, it'll be active in an hour. And I was like,
that's way past complicated compared to every other system.
No, it is complicated to the fact that you need to call Nintendo during their open hours.
For those not listening, I am very vigorously shaking my head, being like, nope, that is too much work for me, forget it.
So it used to be, you called, you confirm your identity, they send you an email within 3 days with a download file that you download, that you installed on your SD card or your micro SD, and then put it in your 3DS, and then in your new 3DS, and then it transfers shit, and then you reactivate.
And then flip it upside down.
Dear Nintendo, that is complicated.
Click your heels, say there's no place like home. We're not yet at the self-surf level. You still have to call, but at least now you don't have to download anything onto physical media, which is like, that's like last week when somebody's like, can you fax me something? I was like, no, it's not.
What year is this?
It's not the 90s, sir. I can email.
Ow.
I'm going to email. I'm not faxing.
Oh, no. My God. Who still has a fax machine?
Well, nobody, because somebody walked in our office also last month. I don't know. Maybe he was talking to the same dude. He's like, you guys have a fax machine? And we're like, no.
In 1996, we probably did.
Yeah, maybe.
Jesus Christ.
Cracked.
Take a photo with your phone and email it.
Yeah, exactly. That's so much easier. Yeah. Crazy. All right. And we also already mentioned the fact that there's a Pokemon Go Halloween event, which is pretty awesome, but a little too late. But yeah, continue with those Pokemon Go and Niantic and whoever else. All right. We also got to see the Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer. We talked about that last week, because this time last week, they only had out the sunset picture with the 7 silhouettes. And then they talked about how on Thursday they were going to have the video, which was all of like 1 minute and 30 seconds, but is beautiful. And I can't wait to be a gunslinging cowboy again. Everybody here seen the trailer? Yes?
Actually, nope.
What? Oh my God.
I saw the first thing you mentioned about the sunset and the silhouettes, but yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
The trailer's beautiful. It's very much a cinematic setting of space. Like, we've frequently talked about hype in video games and how to tease a game, how to present it in such a way so that you get the buzz going, but you don't overpromise and you also don't, like, over-reveal too much in advance. And I think, well, I mean, they're like the gods of this kind of stuff anyway, but the Rockstar folks, they know how to tease and to make you want, like, drooling, wanting more, but at the same time, not reveal a thing. We knew it was, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2, because they had already said it, right? And then just having, you know, well, we knew it was Red Dead Redemption 2 at that point? We knew that was the name?
We knew it was Red Dead.
Red Dead. We didn't know
if it was Redemption 2 or something new or a new name, but it was the setting. We know
exactly.
It.
So they just bring you through every cinematic you've ever seen in a Western. Like, I wanted to go and watch Deadwood or Carnival or something like that afterwards. And just beautifully rendered. Can't wait to see this on all the consoles we have in HD and all that kind of stuff, especially after playing Uncharted 4. It's going to be gorgeous. And just a mood, setting, like few little hints at stuff inside. Like, you see John Martin. That's cool. There's a little hint that maybe there's a female cowboy involved in all this, but it's just enough to build you up to be like, okay, I want more, but not reveal too much. So my hat's off to the folks at Rockstar. You guys know how to produce a teaser trailer, a proper teaser trailer, get hype going. But unfortunately, you had to, you know, live the day and have kind of your glory stomped on a little bit by Nintendo and the Switch.
Oh my God, the Switch.
My big question, though, before we move on to the Switch and that cluster of mixed emotions. Why is Rockstar announcing only console?
Do you want to know why? I know why.
Why? It's more small.
Because they did the same fucking thing with GTA. They make a shit ton of money by releasing it on consoles, so people buy it on consoles, and then they wait a little bit, then they fix it for PC, and then they resell it, digital edition, special edition, whatever, on PC. That's exactly what they did for GTA, and like they made twice as much money by doing that.
Marketing.
They got me with that.
The money.
PS3 first, and now I'm on PC.
So many people did the same as you. So many people did the same thing. So, it worked. So they're doing the exact same thing. They're releasing it for console, and then they're going to eventually be like, we're going to release it for PC in a year or something, and then they're going to make it work for whatever the hell, and that's what's going to happen. So
yeah. You know, Paul's going on no PC and then crying stars, and like, the fuck, Rockstar? It's going to come out on PC. Guaranteed.
It will.
Guaranteed. Yeah. Coming out. It's just that they want to delay it in order to make it perfect. We do not want a Batman Arkham... No, the last Batman game, oh my god. Batman Arkham Knight. We don't want that again, right? So
no.
Knowing Rockstar, they put all their money into building it on console, do PC at the same time, but then switch mentalities while there's, you know, like while that's gone gold, then work on the PC version. And it's kind of smart because they know we're going to buy it 3 or 4 times anyway.
Mm-hmm. And people are going to wait for their platform. Nobody who goes out anymore to buy a console for one game. Except me for Mario Kart and Zelda.
That's 2 games.
Yeah.
2 games.
Well, it's 1 console, 2 games, you know. My second point about that trailer, I just put a link in chat. If you're listening to audio after, you do yourself a favor. Go on Twitter. You don't need an account. Just search for Twitter, on Twitter, for Red Dead Redemption 2 Pony. And you will find somebody who sent that trailer to Pony by Genuine.
No way!
It's the best thing you'll see all fucking day.
Oh damn! I'm going to watch that afterwards.
That's like the the Assassin's Creed trailer to Kanye.
Maybe yes. No, that's the actual trailer.
I know, but.
But and I like Kanye, so shush. Maybe I should do a reaction trailer to that and be like, film myself just being like. The pony song. Oh my god.
Oh, it's perfect. I was like that. It made the trailer so much better. You don't need like the atmosphere. You just need the wah, 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 wah.
But I love the. But that's the thing that can't make. Especially with that style of music, it gets me every time. And I think they did a really good job in the sound design for that trailer. Cause that just when they're like ready to run off into the sunset, I was like, yes, more. And then it ended. But yeah, I love the sound design and that stuff. And then right after I went and listened to the Deadwood opening track. It had the same kind of twang, and I felt like it. And I needed a little Western right then. I needed a little Western.
Shauna says, if a Souls games came out for Xbox only, which would never happen, said she would go buy one just for a Souls game.
Don't say never. Look at Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Look at Final Fantasy.
Rise of the Tomb Raider. Never say never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, the only reason I bought PlayStation back in the days was for Final Fantasy, so...
Like buying a console for just one game, it's definitely not a foreign concept. People will buy Nintendo systems just for Smash Bros.
I bought mine just for Pokemon.
I bought my first 3DS when the week before Pokemon X and Y came out.
And people bought Xbox for Halo only, so you know.
Oh yeah,
pretty much. Oh yeah.
So
these are consoles exclusive. Rockstar games are not console exclusive.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But they do put the money down and try and make things semi-exclusive.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mix of them selling the game twice and a mix of the Sony and Xbox and Microsoft buying them out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. I don't know what we should talk about next. What do you guys feel like? Do you want to talk about Pokemon Sun and Moon demo? Or do you want to talk about Nintendo Switch?
Well, we should talk about the demo first because I feel like the Switch talk will take like the rest of the podcast and will be just.
All right, Pokemon Sun. Okay, so the demo came out on the 18th of October, which is exactly a month before the actual game comes out. It lasts about 30 minutes, gives you a good rundown of like how the Pokemon game's going to go. Also, a shows you a bit of improvements from the new game. The style's a little different, I noticed. They're less like chibi-chibi little characters, and they more look like the characters from the anime, almost.
Like proper ratioed humans.
Yeah, they're not like big head, small body.
Proper human ratio, that's awesome.
Proper
in anime terms.
Yeah. They still have like spaghetti
and giant eyes.
Yeah, it gave us a few features. Anime we got eyes. To meet some of the new characters in the game. We got the setting a little bit. We got the music.
Leah,
we got, come what? On. What?
We know what the most important part of the demo is. The fact that all the Pokemons were leaked.
Okay, but I don't want to talk about that yet. I want to talk about the demo, not the
I thought you were going to say Ask Greninja and I was going to be sad.
Exactly. But as a whole, I mean, you got to see the new, is it Z? Oh, I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Z-Moves.
Yeah, which, you know, they were like, we're going to give it to Pikachu. You should use Pikachu and try it out.
And they put Pikachu in the front of your party.
Yeah, exactly. And then he just went out first anyway. I mean, it's pretty cool, I must say. I enjoyed the demo. I think it's actually a really good move on the Pokemon and Nintendo's part. Pokemon Company, Nintendo, to get this in front of people. I think the Pokemon hype has never been bigger because of Pokemon Go. But as a whole, I think it was a decent demo. It's not that far-fetched from what you've played in the recent redos of Ruby and Sapphire and X and Y. But as a whole, Miles, did you get to play it?
Yeah, I played it, downloaded the day it came out, of course.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Played it and then sat there being sad that it was over already. but it was fun. We got a touch of what a trial might be. We got to fight a totem Pokemon. Mm-hmm. We got to try the Z move. We got to ride Tauros around and smash rocks.
Yeah.
We got like a teaser of a couple new things. Yeah. I was really hoping there'd be something about battle royales in there. I'm sad not to see that in the demo. But, I mean, that's one of the big things of the new game, I think, is the Battle Royale, like four-player free-for-all.
Yeah.
That'd be insane.
I'm guessing they left that out so that they wouldn't give away, like, I guess, the biggest hype of the new game, aside from, you know, all the new Pokemon.
Exactly. They have to leave something, though. Yeah. Obviously, data breaches or data hacking means you're going to get the information. Kat, was your two cents? I know you're kind of, like, just getting started in it, but it doesn't feel too far-fetched from the stuff we've had before.
It plays a lot like Sapphire and XY. Honestly, I've just made it to the cave. I was like trying to play on my way home. But I mean, I haven't tried the Z moves or anything new, but in the sense it's very, very, very familiar to this generation type of Pokemon game. I mean, I loved X and Y. That was like my favorite Pokemon game since I played, which one did I have? I had blue. Did I have blue or green? Whatever. It was because I was highly disappointed by black. Pokemon Black was really weird.
It was dumb.
Oh, it was dumb.
I was actually the one I played the least.
Yeah.
Black and Black 2 were just so,
I didn't even try Black 2 because Black was so disappointing.
Yeah, did you just say Back in Black?
No, Black 2.
Are you right now?
No.
Sorry.
This ain't Shome.
But yeah, no, X was such a breath of fresh air. And I think with Sapphire, they proved that they can take the old games and readapt it to a new generation. And I feel like Pokemon Sun Moon has just enough of what we love and just enough of new stuff that, you know, like after the demo, I'm feeling very confident with this, with the next Pokemon game. But it's still very much a Pokemon game. If you don't want to walk through tall grass and kill 1,000 Pidgey and one Pikachu,
or Pikipex in this case,
you're playing the wrong game.
Yeah, I wandered in one of the little grass patches in the demo for like 10 minutes just to see if I could get different Pokemon, but there wasn't much.
No, I think
there was
like three.
Yeah, there was like three.
Yungoose and Rockruff and Pikipek and then Pikachu. I think that's about it.
Well, Pikachu with a really low chance, you can.
I went to three in a row at some point. And then Yungoose? Not again for like half an hour.
Yungoose, you mean Mongoose Trump.
Yeah. Mongoose Trump, yes.
Yes, true.
Indeed. All right, but obviously the big story out of this was the data mining and finding all the different Pokemon who are actually in the game, the final game. But the greatest story is the best ugly duckling, like, story of all time for cute little Popplio. Oh my god, turns into a beautiful, like, mermaid-style character. So pretty.
I'm honestly just mad that Litten's another fucking firefighting starter.
I really hope they haven't revealed the type.
He's yet. Like big and like this and shit.
There's still a chance it's fire dark. It looks like it could be dark.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
You guys are like clawing to hope that it's not firefighting again.
It's not confirmed to just announced.
Also, one thing about the Dex that's been leaked. And this is in no way confirmed, but I am still holding on to that tiny little hope that this is not the entire Dex.
Nah, it's pretty small.
It's really small. B, they did a pretty good job of cleaning up the demo. There's no types. There's no names. They replaced, I think, 95% of the moves with pound. They pretty much just left the images in. And a couple, we learned like four new moves. I think we learned the new moves of like the three starters and second train. That was about it. So I think maybe they left the images in on purpose. That's a lot of what people are speculating. And just a buzz about like the Alolan Golem and Dugtrio that looks like the Hanson brothers.
Oh my god. Alolan form Dugtrio is, oh my god.
The Hanson brothers.
Are you kidding me?
I don't understand.
Yeah, I have a little less hope. Because I feel like this is like X and Y or Gen 2 where they didn't add as many new ones, but
I'm holding on to hope.
They substituted with a lot of the Alolan forms. Not a ton of them, but they're still there. So.
Yeah, although the Alolan Golem line is kind of weird because they just kind of gave them dark rock facial hair.
Yeah.
But they're going to go with some sort of like molten like fire rock type. So there's a volcano in Alola?
No, man, Rockbeard.
Rockbeard.
I love the Alolan form of Marowak. It's so freaking cool.
Oh, god.
That one's really cool.
So awesome.
My heart's broken because they did not give me Alolan Cubone.
Aww. And
I wanted it. And it's not there. Marowak.
Something I noticed in the demo that I am not familiar with other games. I don't know if it was the purpose of the demo or not, if this is going to carry over. Did you guys notice the first time you battled against a certain type of Pokemon, you just had your normal moves listed. The second time you battled against the same type of Pokemon, it told you which moves were effective, super effective, not so effective.
Yeah,
that seemed really new to me. Like, I don't remember that from X and Y.
That is a brand new feature for this game. It will also do the same for your buff and debuff stats. So if you raise your attack, you can actually check, and there'll be a little indicator about how much you raised your attack or how much your enemy decreased your attack or speed or whatever. It's interesting, especially for people super unfamiliar with Pokemon or haven't picked it up in a while. It's like, here, like this, we're making this a little easy for you because you can't memorize the entire type chart, because sometimes with dual types it's super complicated.
Well, yeah, and it got real, it was kind of easy in the first 150, 52, and then as soon as he added in all these other ones, like some were logical, you know what I mean? And electricity and water, fire and water, grass and fire. Like, that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, which one's going to be stronger? When you start getting into, like, poison and dark and all this stuff, that's involved. That's a lot to remember.
I keep a chart on my phone.
I know, but, like, when you're thinking about new players, you want to get new players on your console, that is a big barrier that people will be like, wow, this has way too much of a learning curve for me.
It's really great for new players because, like, especially at conventions like Comic-Con and Talk-O-Con, we'll have we'll have like rental DS systems where we'll have a bunch of extra DSs of ours with like ready-made teams, and we'll let people like people like our age, people like young kids will come up, and they either don't have the game or they didn't think to bring it with them to convention, and we'll use the rental systems to provide the gym leaders. And some of the people that aren't very familiar with the video game will just use whatever move, and then like they'll be fighting the ground gym leader and they'll use an electric type. It's like, why didn't they do anything?
They can ask us, and we're not jerks. We'll tell them what is effective against the type. Some of them pull up the type chart on their phone. So this is it's really easy. It's really like a good feature for people who are just beginning. Like that being said, I kind of hope they have an option to turn it off.
Yeah.
For those of us who like a bit of a challenge in single player, if they keep it in multiplayer, that's going to change the competitive scene a lot, because so much of competitive is banking on the fact that maybe your opponent forgot his typing or did not pay attention to how many times he was buffed or debuffed.
Yeah.
And that can really sway a match. So it's going to be interesting to see if they keep that, or if they won't have it when you hook up with another player, or if they give you an option to turn it off.
Maybe for like official tournaments, it'll be an option of like when you connect, like that doesn't, like that's one of the options you can turn off. That's what I'm thinking, because I can't see big high stakes tournaments having like an aid in there, because people are allowed to bring like paper and pencil and notes, but that's it. You're not allowed to bring with you a type chart. You're like, any sort of aids are like against the rules, except for a piece of paper and pencil. And between matches, you have to destroy what you've written to start fresh.
Oh, wow. So, rules I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Want everyone to be on even play field. No.
That's smart.
No cheats.
Yeah, no cheating. All right, we got to get into the Nintendo Switch, because, there's lots to talk about this. Anyway. So, yeah, on Wednesday night, all of a sudden, I was watching Alice stream, and then on Paul actually told me that there was an announcement. So I jumped on the link that he sent, went and checked out Twitter. It had only been 7 minutes since it had been announced. Lo and behold, next day, Nintendo Direct. What are they going to do? Talk about the NX. So it was a crazy day Thursday morning. Crazy day. Because we had the NX announcement at 10, and then we had Red Dead Redemption at 11. It was like borderline like a mini E3 for me. It was exciting. So we got our small little trailer about the Twitch. Lots of things.
The what?
There are lots. The Switch. I said the Twitch, didn't I? Yes. That's going to happen a lot. You're lucky. You're actually lucky that I didn't say NX, because like that's stuck in my head. So, the Switch. The Nintendo Switch.
Still acceptable.
But you could call it the NS instead of the NX now.
Oh. There you go. Oh. There you go. Smart. I like its cute little logo. Kind of looks like a ladybug or a yin yang or something like that. It's pretty neat. Yeah, exactly. So, overall thoughts on the hardware, this idea of this console that you can dock at home and then take it up and take with you on the move. Like, Kat, do you think it's something you want to jump into?
It is, because I am sold on Nintendo exclusive. It is a known fact that the 3DS is not outselling the DS. The mobile, the smartphone has taken a big chunk out of portable. Mm. So I see that the Switch will eventually be their all-in-one solution for mobile, because I don't think phones are very strong enough to do a game like Pokemon Sun Moon, but Pokemon Go, it was enough to entice people that don't play Pokemon to play Pokemon, but that still won't play Pokemon Sun Moon. So I think, like, when it comes to the hardcore handheld, which is still very big in Japan, but it's slowing down a lot, to the point where they were thinking of not exporting every console to North America. Like, I almost had to like order this from Europe or Japan. They actually released it here. So I'm really happy that they got the regular size XL, the regular size new 3DS here. So the way I see it is, if they're going to keep making consoles, they're going to make one console for everything. Also, I saw that they're straying away from the family-friendly play with your kids by this for your Christmas, because everybody in that commercial looked like us.
Yeah. It was our targeted at us.
Young adults, mostly white, which is weird for a Japanese company. But yeah, I saw a lot of pumpkin spice latte consumers in that commercial. Not one single kid, not one single parent.
Not old people.
Yeah, so it's weird. It's really a big rebranding for Nintendo, but I think they're really feeling the pressure of the new habits of consumers.
Because the Wii U didn't do too well either. Huh?
Yeah,
it didn't do well at all.
No. That's why this might save them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't count. The last thing you can ever do is count Nintendo out. They almost need, they're one of those like underdogs that you almost like need to let them have that moment where they're feeling down, because then they'll come back with something that's right.
Yeah. Like the Switch.
Hopefully. Wii, the GameCube wasn't doing, it's solid machine, but just didn't do the numbers of the PS2 and original Xbox. And then you come to the Wii, well, Jesus, everybody and their grandma literally had
literally playing Wii.
Literally. Simon, what are your concerns about the console?
The hardware itself. Any moving parts and anything that you need to dock and you need to lock and you need to, there's, to me, that's long-term is issue, especially if you're going to have kids using it and you're going to have like younger people using it that are not necessarily, you know, at ease with that kind of hardware. I don't know. I feel like it's going to break every single time that, you know, they're going to put it in, put it out. And then it's good. So that's one of the main concerns that I have. And we'll have to see if it's, you know, because they were showcasing some Skyrim in there. They were showing some.
We'll get to the games.
So, I mean, they haven't said anything about what it's actually, how powerful it's going to be, how it's like, they only showed this is what it is. And it's like simulated screen images. And then you're like, okay, well, that doesn't tell me anything. So.
Rumor that the battery life for the tablet is 3 hours or so, which is, jeez, if they're trying to merge their handheld market into their console market, is not fantastic.
Everybody's going to be carrying those, bringing those extra battery packs around.
Well, I already have those.
Me too!
Because of Pokemon Go.
Festival season, man. Festival season. Yeah. All right, let's continue on with the whole hardware, but now getting to the nitty-gritty of the controllers, also moving parts, called Joy-Cons, for joystick controller. You can slide them on and off the sides of the screen and put them onto a smaller controller. You can also take them and use them, looks like individually, like your own little tiny controller, so you can play multiplayer on the go with somebody else.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Really tiny. Like, I mean, I'm a girl, so I have small hands. It's not a big deal. But, like, for somebody who has bigger hands and has to hold on to that, I can imagine that being kind of difficult. Doesn't look very ergonomically friendly. But that's just that on its own. The Pro controller that they showed? Thank you. Yeah, indeed. But the coolest thing that I saw, and I think this was like floating around for a while, I don't think it was actually part of the announcement or came out with the announcement. I think this actually came from before, or someone on Twitter decided to like mock up some different controllers that you could attach to the sides. So they have one that's like a shooter controller that you can click onto the side, one that's designed for Yo-Kai Watch with like the Yo-Kai spinner on it, a Pokemon one that kind of looks like a Pokemon potion kind of thing, a Splatoon one, one that looks more like a GameCube. So peripherals could be a big part of this. I mean, more shit for you to carry around with you, but they could sell some more money, some more stuff with it. I mean, Amiibos have been doing very well for them. So, mind you, Amiibos have some life outside of the video games. These kind of don't. But it's a really cool concept.
Yeah, they're going to be a whole market of just, like, the attachments, like, of the controllers themselves.
Kellyanne, if you could pick a controller or design a controller on the side that would do really well for a Pokemon game, what thing would you feature?
I don't know. The regular controller just has everything Pokemon. Yeah. Actually, for a Pokemon game on the Switch, which is what I'm really interested in, if they actually decide, yeah, please, that would make me mad. Yeah, if they decided to merge their handheld and console market, I don't know how that would work. I mean, they would have to go back to single screen probably, because Pokemon is mostly a mobile game, and people would probably mostly play it on the tablet during transit. So they've already lost their two screens.
Yeah, I was wondering how it's gonna work, because I imagine, because like they showed the Switch having cartridges now and not just. And we'll probably be able to put 3DS games in it. I don't know if that's been confirmed or not, but I'm assuming anyway. So, like, how would we play Sun and Moon, which is a two-screen based game on?
And I don't think it's a a touch screen either. Did they mention something?
They haven't. They something came out about multi-touch, but the thing is that on the go, you just have the one screen. When you dock it, the screen is no longer available for you. It's the TV screen.
Yeah.
What I would hope is that if this is the direction they're heading, and then Pokemon, they do make a new Pokemon game for it, is that they make it a real, like, console experience, and they take advantage of the fact that you can play it on your TV, but then also take it elsewhere. And I'm eager to see how they would design that kind of game.
Let's talk about the games. So, like Simon said earlier, they showed a version of Skyrim. They showed a version of.
They showed a virgin, probably a couple in the audience. Yes.
Showed a version of NBA 2K17. They showed Mario Kart 8. They showed the new Zelda, and what we are assuming is a new Mario game.
New 3D Mario game. For fuck's sake.
With the perspective of the old 64 games.
Yes.
I have a theory behind this game, okay? Bear with me. I told Paul this on Saturday. He probably thought I was crazy.
Super Mario 64 2.
No, think about this. Okay, so they showed a level that had, like, sombreros and Mexican theme, like Day of the Dead and all that kind of stuff. Something that Mario's never really ventured into before. But bear with me now.
That was fantastic.
All the pets are being bad
today. Yeah, all the pets are being insane tonight. What the hell's going on?
It's the witching hour.
Something in the water.
The witching hour.
Yeah, it's because I'm new.
So never really seen anything that kind of related directly to a culture or a location in the real world in the same sense in a Mario game. But catch this. The Tokyo Olympics are coming, and who popped out of and how did they use the whole
Mario
in the Olympics? They use Mario with the pipe and everything at the end of the Rio Olympics. My theory is we're getting a Mario game that's going to be centered around the Olympics, not directly, but different areas of the world.
That could be cool.
And I like that idea. Imagine what they're going to do for Canada. It's going to be beavers everywhere.
And maple leaves and moose.
Igloos and Koopas dressed as beavers.
Yes.
I call a Justin Trudeau in there somewhere. They gotta make a character that's just like taking selfies and
dropping mics and
and instead of mushrooms you get poutines. It'd be hilarious.
I'm honestly really excited just to see a new 3D Mario, not just like 3D world on the side scroller. I want to see actual 3D Mario a la Mario 64.
Yeah, me too.
And Galaxy and Sunshine and all those awesome Marios.
Indeed. Any other games you guys want to see on the console? I mean, they gave us a ginormous list of companies that are working on games with them that range from what we expect, like the Ubisofts and Warner Brothers to DNA. What do you think? Anything?
Honestly, I'd love to see more indie games on there to see if they can, like, use the new controller and how they're marketing it. It would be super interesting to see how indie companies would get their hands on that and make it work. I know it's never going to happen because Nintendo sucks, but, you know.
Paul, they have awesome to revive to Star Fox, for crying out loud. Give me the old Star Fox, not this silly Star Fox 02 BS. None of that. Paul likes to instigate.
Another Monster Hunter on a console.
It's going to happen.
That would be nice because I'm kind of tired of looking at a tiny screen.
For Monster Hunter.
Bending my hands, you know, in unnatural ways to try and fight a large monster and control the camera at the same time.
Yeah, totally. The other thing that they showed off was Splatoon, but not in the traditional sense of showing off Splatoon. They made a big impact about and big focus on esports.
Which is surprising.
Very surprising. Yeah. So Nintendo, is this Nintendo's foray into esports? Simon?
I mean,
the whole thing with Splatoon, with the teams and...
Splatoon is the only game that they can play on that it could actually be an esport unless they port other games and they make other ones, but... I mean, it could work, but it depends on, again, on same thing we said with Ubisoft and all those other companies. It depends on how much money they're willing to put into the game and how much money they're willing to put into tournaments, and that's what's going to bring people to it. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but
it's interesting their layout, how they had a bunch of folks there training together on multiple versions, mobile versions, not docked, of the Switch,
mm-hmm.
and people playing, and like, and it looked like they were doing strategies and stuff. Go ahead, Kat.
My question is, you know, for major esports events, has there been one with a console? So far, it's been PC. Like, even
no,
Rock,
there's
even Rocket League's been mostly PC. I mean, yes, there's Pokemon and Super and
Smash.
Smash.
No, there's a
League
of Legend level.
No,
has there been console?
No, I mean the biggest ones are. The biggest ones are like Halo and Call of Duty. Like Halo has really big tournaments, like $100,000 tournaments, but nothing to the level of Dota and League of Legends and CS:GO now. So, no.
Well, maybe Nintendo will be the first to bring consoles to esports.
In a strong fashion. I mean, they got the money if they want to put money behind it, and if they want to cultivate like kids. I mean.
Well, honestly, like they should just do what Blizzard doing. Like, look, we're going to make tournaments, we're going to make our own league, and we're going to bring thousands and thousands of dollars in prizes. So, like, all the professional esports organizations are like, yes, yes. And, like, and now everyone and their mom has an Overwatch team. So they they pretty much just have to do the same thing with Splatoon. And then companies, all the organizations are going to want to build their own thing. So we'll see.
I'm surprised they would pour money into Splatoon for that, though. Why not Smash and
It should have been Smash.
Pokemon. Yeah, it should have been Smash more than, because those are the two games that have had leagues and
that are still played
and are very, very competitive. Yeah, man.
I imagine they will. I mean, they might as well do both of it. It's just Splatoon's probably their most, I don't know, maybe it's fleshiest more so, you know what I mean?
And they also don't need to create a new game because it's already made.
Yeah, and it already has the controls for it. But no, there's a Smash for Wii U.
Mm. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, it's on 3DS.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on 3DS.
Yeah.
It's
true. Yeah.
No, but they came out with a 3DS version and then they came out with a Wii U version.
Yeah, but no one plays.
Yeah, they all still play Brawl. Melee.
Melee.
I mean,
they had to come out with they had to remarket and remanufacture the Nintendo Cube controllers.
Yeah.
Exactly. I saw a funny caption pretty much right after the Nintendo Switch came, like, announcement of like most people's reaction when it came out, like, oh my god, this is amazing, it's revolutionary. And then it was like Smash players, but can you plug a GameCube controller into it?
Yes. Can you?
Legit question. All right, before we wrap up the show, I want to get all of your overall feelings. I'm going to go through each one of you. Miles, to start with you. Overall feeling, are you going to drop the hard-earned cash, even though you don't know what the price point is yet, on a Switch?
I'm going to say it's a good 90% chance I'm going to do it. Like, I've already kind of decided, like, anyone who's buying me a Christmas or Hanukkah present or, like, birthday present, because my birthday's in March when the system's coming out.
Mine's in end of February. That's what we're doing.
Yes. Just get me EV Games gift cards or something. I'll just stockpile them until I have enough for it. Because if I can play Pokemon in that, and especially if we can, like, use it for tournaments and hook it up to, like, a big TV screen, like I said, people will buy consoles just for one game. Mm-hmm. I think I would buy it, like, literally just if I could play Pokemon on it. But obviously, if I have it, I'll probably find plenty of other games to get it. So yeah, I would definitely get it. It looks really cool. I'm curious to see, like, what more stuff they're going to come out, what kind of games, and really want to know what they're going to do with Pokemon before I buy it. But I may end up buying it even before then. Who knows?
And if you were a betting man, how much money do you think it's going to cost?
How much was the Wii U when it came out? Like
300?
300?
Yeah. 350 here in Canada, I think.
It was about 400 for the with
that
taxes
big one?
For the big black one, yeah.
And like the 3DS costs like $250 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, yeah. I'd say probably 400 because it's like it's a new thing and it's technically like a home console that has that extra. I don't think it would be near the price of a 3DS. It's probably going to be more close. It's probably going to be closer to the price of a Wii, I'm betting.
And I expect a lot of like those peripherals to be sold separately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Wii U did not come with any Wiimotes.
Really? I hope you can.
It came with the big thing, but they said the Motion Plus controller from your Wii worked on the Wii U. So.
Yeah. It was mine. Was the gamepad, the console, and no game.
Mine had a game.
Mine had Zelda.
Mine had the 3D Mario in it. Kellyanne, how about you? Are you going to be buying a Nintendo Switch?
I'm a huge fan of Nintendo's handheld lines, less so of their console line. But if they're merging the two, probably like the minute it can Pokemon, it has my money.
Pretty much.
I will throw all of my money at it.
I was like, will it blend? Can it Pokemon?
Can it Smash? Can it Pokemon?
That's pretty much the deciding factor. But I'm in love with like Nintendo's handheld library. So if they're bringing some of that over to their console base to like breathe more life into it, then I will probably buy one. I hope it's not too expensive. I'm a little nervous because of all the hardware they have for it.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping you can hook up more than one or two little tablets to the screen.
You never know. They might use like phones and stuff as second screens and stuff. You never know. Simon, when was the last time you bought a Nintendo console?
I bought the Wii U.
You bought the Wii U?
Yep. And I have the Wii.
Ah, okay. So are you gonna buy
I went from Nintendo 64 to Wii.
Wii?
Yeah. I skipped the GameCube.
I did too. You gonna buy one?
No.
You're gonna wait for all of us to say yay or nay?
I mean, unless they come out with the fabled Pokemon game that everyone's been talking about, and then, you know, when are they gonna make a Pokemon game on a big console? Not those stupid fucking
Pokemon Snap.
Pokemon, even Snap, I'd fucking buy
it. Why didn't
they
do Snap for the Wii U?
Why didn't they just do Pokemon for the Wii U?
It would have printed money.
They put the Wii U out, realized it was a dumb idea, and now for the past 2 years have been doing everything for the Switch. Like, guaranteed. We have no games right now on Wii U. Look, this is the last game I've played in, like, forever. and this is what I got to hold me over until March, when Zelda comes.
Most of what I played on the Wii U are the little mini games, the party games that come in with it.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
Those are actually really good.
Drunk playing Wii U party is the best.
Yeah.
No, but, like, I don't know. I'm not... I mean, then again, I didn't want to get a Wii U, and then I got one. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Peer pressure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I still don't have an Xbox One. I haven't given in to that, so it's... I only have a PS4 and a Wii U right now, so we'll see. We'll see what happens and the games that come out and what they do with it. But so far, it's a no.
PC.
So far, it's no for me. Yes, and of course, my baby.
Always.
Cat, you're going to buy it at launch or wait a bit? I know you'll end up with it.
Yeah, it depends. If I get Breath of the Wild for Wii U, I'll wait.
That's my system seller right there.
Yeah, I might get it at launch just because, like, I'm such a Nintendo fangirl, and
either you or I'll have one at launch.
I think so, and I'm really curious about it, but, like, the Wii U only really got a lot of love when I brought it to the office, and now that we play during our lunch hour, when I first brought it, we played a lot of Smash.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're heavily into Mario Kart 8, and I bought the DLCs too, so it like really extended the play. But I'm afraid that when I get the NX, I'm gonna be having the same very
Switch,
whatever.
That's gonna take a while.
The next Zelda machine. when I buy my next Zelda machine, I feel like I'm not gonna be playing it constantly. You know, like my PC, I play on it constantly. The console, I switch a lot between PS4 and Xbox One to the point where I'm like, you don't need to. You just need the one that your friends are playing on or the one that has the games you want to play. So those get a lot of use, especially the PS4, because Pascal plays MLB The Show on it.
And then NHL.
Yeah, he stopped NHL. He's playing right now. I know you're.
That's Mike's doing.
Yeah. Well, that's Michael's actually, doing. It's the fact that it was half off during the playoffs,
or what? Smart.
Whatever it's called. I don't do sports.
sports ball.
Yeah. So I think I'll get it, but it's not. It's still not good. I think it's still going to be like I play a lot of it for a while, and then I forget about it for 2 months. And then it's like Mario Kart, and I'm like, oh, yes, I love this. And I'll probably end up bringing it to the office very early in the cycle because it's not a single-player console. It really isn't.
I find that all of my consoles are like that right now, though. I go through phases with them.
Yeah.
Where they get a lot of use and then get put away for a little while.
Especially since you and I are very lucky that we have every console, which is something we did for Girls on Games, you know. But I also realize that it's very excessive to have every console and a gaming PC and a 3DS. And you have a Vita.
And I have a Vita. Cool. Yeah, I have a lot of
consoles. It's to the point where people are like, you're so lucky. Nobody needs that many consoles.
No. We do it because we do reviews and stuff. So.
But honestly, when it comes to our day-to-day or enjoyment, like I just need a balling gaming PC. I need the Nintendo console to play those three games that I want to play during the console cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And, the 3DS because of Pokemon, and then maybe like a PS4 and Xbox One to play something else. And, you know, now Forza's on PC. What do I need that Xbox for anymore? Honestly.
It's true. All right. I think that pretty much wraps up the show here for us this evening. Before I get into everybody's Twitter handles and all that jazz, I want to let you know that we are still going to give away that arcade block.
Like
so we're
now.
We're going to give away now. I'll give you 5 minutes.
I'm going to tweet it.
Yeah, I'm going to do the rest of the spiel of our conclusion and all that jazz before we actually do the giveaway. But if you want to enter, it's !arcade, all uppercase, in the Twitch chat. So yeah, as always, thank you to Fun.io, who does our wonderful hosting. We've got a cool stream schedule this week featuring our first official date of Witchling. Go check that out on Twitter. Website highlights that we got going on the site right now. We got an unboxing of a limited edition Gears of War 4 Xbox One. We've got the review for the PlayStation 4. We've got the Gears of War 4 review in general. Color Splash that I played. This one here. Yeah. Paper Mario Color Splash. That's up there. Yeah, there's lots of Halloween content if you're still interested because Halloween's on Monday. Stay tuned next week on Monday when we're probably going to be doing something crazy for Halloween because it's Halloween on a podcast night. We're streaming. Yeah, thank you. To Miles and Kellyanne for coming to hang out with us.
Oh, thanks
for having us.
Yeah, it's been excellent. Awesome. Lots of new knowledge about Montreal Pokemon League. I'm super intrigued. Now I'm going to have to get Sun and or Moon and decide how I'm going to get my team of Pokemon ready to go to come battle at one of your events because I think that is so much fun. Before I do let you go, though, I want to get your info so that people can find out and, you know, get all the details so that they can go and enjoy Montreal Pokemon League and all your events.
Yeah, so if you want to find out about our big events and stuff, go to facebook.com/PKMNLeagueMTL. So, and then it's pretty much the same thing on Twitter, twitter.com/PKMNLeagueMTL. And then that and the GymNav page, which is the facebook.com/MontrealPoke, like POKE, GYMNAV, and that on the Twitter is where you can find all the gym leaders. And if you're interested in getting a first shot at Sun and Moon, the tournament this Sunday, actually, aside from a bunch of like plushes and stuff, the first and second place of the tournament will be winning pre-orders of these.
Ooh!
Yeah, don't get too excited. These are just empty boxes.
Ah!
But we will be giving away fully paid pre-orders for the, thanks for working together with the Anime Club at Concordia for this event. Yeah, these are going to be the two main prizes, then we'll get the empty boxes.
Nice! Nice.
And also, first place, I brought this along to give a teaser. First place gets a little trophy.
Ooh, wow, that's so pretty!
Yeah, got the awesome little family-run business like Codelux in the West Island, which helped me out making this.
That's beautiful!
And also, I wanted to drop this little bombshell right near the end.
Oh!
This is news we haven't told anyone in the public yet. It's something we're actually announcing on our Facebook page tomorrow. So check out if Well, if they're not seeing it now, they're going to see it tomorrow. But Nintendo is actually going to be having a private event where they will be showcasing a bunch of games and stuff, some new games, and of course, Pokemon, not the full game from what I'm told, but a media exclusive, a different kind of demo. So there's going to be apparently a few different new features in the game that you'll be able to try. And in partnership with Nintendo, they've given us the opportunity to give away a few invites to this big event.
Nice!
So people come enter the video game tournament this Sunday or the costume contest. They'll have a chance to win these invites. And on Wednesday, we'll be releasing an extra way that people can try and win their way over that.
Oh, that's great!
I'm really looking forward to it, and I still have no idea what's in store for the event, but I'm excited, like I said, with anything having to do with Sunny Moon.
Sweet. That's perfect. Oh, that's great. So yeah, everybody go follow them on Facebook so that you can enter all that stuff. It's going to be great. And then go to the party. Yep. Yay! And Halloween!
Party one, and party two is actually the game. There's supposed to be, and the final details, we were actually working it out this week. We're waiting to hear the news from I guess, upper management at some level of EB Games. But there's supposed to be a midnight launch of the game on November 17th at the EB Games at Miguel Metro at the Complex Design.
Nice!
We're still working out the details with them, but if all goes well, we should have a few gym leaders. Our Elite Four and Champion will be there to take on challenges for anyone that has at least 8 gym badges. And we'll be showcasing, we'll be taking challenges. We have a brand new gym leader with an Evolution gym. And yeah, and then whoever is there will get their first crack of Sun and Moon before it comes out the day after.
Awesome.
Looking more news on that will be coming soon on our Facebook page once we get the 8OK from EB Games.
So everybody, go, follow now. Yeah. What are you waiting
for? Check us out. So much news coming. Pokemon things.
Do it. Peer pressure. All right. Thank you guys for hanging out. Simon, thank you for doing all this magic that you do with the podcast. How can everybody track you down? And you're muted.
Oh.
Was muted. GOG Simon M on Twitter.
Thank you, Kat. You look like you're stalled out, but now you're back.
Yeah,
I was. How can everybody track you down?
I am CSDESBINS on everything. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Steam, Xbox Live, PlayStation. That's also my Nintendo ID. All that good stuff. Follow me on Twitter. I retweet a lot of We Raid Dogs.
Nice. There you go. There's
dogs. Brent, it's a good dog, Brent. Holy crap! You need to get me that shirt. You need to get me that shirt.
I love it. My name's Leah. You can find me at Leah Jewer on pretty much everything. But of course, what you want to know is about Girls Line Games. You can track us down on Twitter, The Girls Line Games, Facebook, The Girls Line Games, Instagram. It's just Girls Line Games. No, the same thing with Snapchat. But all the good stuff happens on girlslinegames.ca. So if you need anything at all, that's the place to go check it out. You can always come back and watch this podcast every Monday at 8 p.m. We host it here live. And then we put it up on iTunes afterwards and YouTube's.
I accidentally rolled the winner.
You rolled the winner. Simon rolled the winner.
Bam, 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 Sam won.
Bam, 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 Sam. Lucky duck.
You won an arcade block for the month of October.
Huzzah,
so that's gonna be an awesome one.
Yeah. So, yo, dude, we need to get in contact with you.
Yeah, I will get in touch with you, and we'll get information.
Yeah, shipping address and T-shirt size, because that's the way she rolls at Arcade Block. Thanks everybody for coming to hang out. This has been a wonderful episode. I can't wait to have more Nintendo news. I can't wait to play Pokemon. I can't wait to get my hands on the Switch. And see you next week. It's gonna be Halloween. Prepare for something scary.
Oh yeah. Should I go get a costume or something?
Yes.
Damn it.
It's going to be a costume event. You Damn must it. Dress up.
I don't have a costume.
Well, we will make that happen.
I'll make a nameplate say, hello, my name is Kevin. And I will be Kevin for the night.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Goodbye.
Right, talk to y'all later. Have a great
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.